So we're going to actually dive into our message today, and it might seem a little weird, but I want music behind the whole thing, because I listened to it so much in writing, it would be weird for me to say it without it there. Thanks, ma'am. So first of all, I want to say thanks to Brandon Basista for sharing his heart last Sunday. Our youth director did a great job. And that is online on our podcast and our Facebook Live if you'd like to listen to that. And before we dive into today, next week we're going to start a new series. And we're going to be talking about one word, one small word that will change our church. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Got to be here next week. And hopefully, actually, it's going to change the way we view ministry forever. And that starts next week. And no, I'm not going to tell you what the word is. But today is a message that's kind of been on my heart for a while, off and on. And it's come up in different conversations with people like Jeff Seitz. So Jeff, if you're listening, shout out. Yeah, thanks for that. And some others. So, you know, thanks to those brothers and sisters in Christ who have maybe unwittingly contributed to this message today. And overall, I'm going to be speaking in some generalizations. So not everything is going to be rock solid. And hopefully it'll make sense when we get there. All right, so we got music. Yes. The best thing I could think of to talk about today and really to call this message is four-dimensional. And hopefully that'll make sense once we finish all this up. And so I want you to go back with me in time. Like back 30 years now. We're going to go back a long, 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 long time. We're going to rewind time. We're going to go back in the history of humanity. And we're going to call this first dimension thinking. Okay? I think back into posterity and remember the ancient civilizations that laid the groundwork for today's society. And I'm not saying that no one today thinks and technology isn't advancing and science, you know, isn't advancing and discovery isn't advancing. But back in this first dimension of thinking, this is where the groundwork and the foundation was laid for things like government, you know, philosophy, politics, math, physics, and metaphysics. And some maybe warrior poets come to mind for you if we go back to this time in the east of like Sun Tzu, you know, the Chinese warrior. But namely, really, if you're like me, you probably go back to the Greeks and the Romans, right? Of this era of thinking, this first dimension of thinking. And philosophers such as Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, Archimedes, Protagoras, Democritus, Romans like Marcus Aurelius, and even tacticians like Julius Caesar, and the list just goes on. And culture was reaching out in this first dimension of thinking, discovering, and trying to learn and understand the world that God had created in a way that wasn't really seen before to that point in history. Math, science, social conventions, again in government, politics, discovery of physics, all these things were really born and discovered and sought after in this time. And mankind at this time made decisions based on the way they thought as a whole, generalizations. They made decisions based on the way they thought. In other words, if logic made sense to do something, they did it. If the situation dictated it, they thought what was right, so then they acted. They analyzed the situation and they thought about it, logically thinking, they progressed, and then they made a decision moving forward. And this season of logic lasted well for over a millennia, until near the end of the Roman Empire and the beginning of the Middle Ages. And this is just my dissertation, if you will, so feel free to disagree or talk about it later. But I would say that this first dimension, this era of thinking, making decisions based on thinking, really lasted all the way through to the beginning of the Middle Ages and the end of the Roman Empire. And this leads us to our second dimension, right? So we have our first dimension of thinking. The second dimension is, we'll call, believing. And there was a shift in history when the Roman Empire fell, and the Goths and the Visigoths took down the Western Empire, and the Greeks ceased to be a global superpower or influence anyone, and the days of Julius Caesar and Alexander the Great were long gone. Literacy rapidly declined. People weren't able to read anymore, and humanity entered as, you know, what's often called the Dark Ages, right? And with much of logic and thinking in our first dimension now in the background, people unknowingly shifted to making decisions based on belief. People now didn't do what they thought was right, they did things that they believed were right. And this is why ridiculous quests like the Crusades were carried out in the name of religion, right? Because they fought so vigorously with the Saracens over there in the Middle East because of bravery and belief. Groups like the Templars attempted to wield those two things together, and they ended up causing chaos. And searching for something more, people entered monasteries in record numbers back then. They strived for belief to justify their decisions. Enormous cathedrals started reaching heavenward with jaw-dropping sighs as belief became the refuge for hungry souls who couldn't read. And they were taught theological inaccuracies that would take centuries to rectify. For nearly a millennia as well, belief, our second dimension, held the key to much of our decision-making. This lasted through medieval time, through the Renaissance, all this belief, through the great Reformation of Martin Luther, right? Does it start to make sense maybe a little bit? Why belief was maybe this overarching second dimension. To pilgrims hunting for new lands to safely secure their what? Their beliefs. Through the American Civil War, where each side fought for what they believed in. And beyond the conquest of the rest of the continent, where hundreds of thousands of Native Americans were thrown from their land and often killed because others believed that their land should be owned. And this went through the Industrial Revolution, through the First World War, and ended around the Second World War. And it ends there because this may be the last time that nations go to battle over belief. You ask any World War II veteran often, they will reply that they believed fascism and Nazis. And the Japan conquest of Asia was wrong. They believed it was wrong. So they went to fight for it. And it was wrong, and they often died for it. And this greatest generation, as it's come to be known, would literally die for those things that they believed in. They went to war because they believed it was the right thing to do. And for this millennia of belief, decisions, again, were not made as much because they thought it was right, but because they believed it was right. Our third dimension. We have our first dimension of thinking, which was what? If we're following the geometry, the first dimension is just a line, right? Our second dimension, you'd be drawing a square. Our third dimension, that's why you go see a 3D movie, because it's, whoa, now it comes out at you, right? So now think of a cube, right? And our third dimension is the dimension of feeling. I believe we have gradually entered our third dimension even over my lifetime. It's been that quick. You see, people nowadays don't do what they think is right. They don't even do what they believe is right. They do what they feel is right. And it's a feelings-based culture now. It's a feelings-based society where no one is allowed to offend anyone. And therefore, everyone walks around on eggshells. Feelings and emotions now dictate decisions. And never before in human history has what society felt mattered so much, maybe now too much. And liberal as well as conservative agendas are pushed on the basis of feelings and emotions that cry out for every single voice to be heard despite the obvious consequences. And our third dimension has become evident when even the Pope backpedals now on Christ. You may have seen this video going viral, over 16.5 million views, of the Pope talking to this little boy over in Italy. And the little boy, his father passed away, sadly. And his father was a known atheist, and his son knew his father was an atheist. And so he was wondering whether or not his dad was in heaven. So the Pope was sitting there, and you can watch this video. He goes up to the Pope on a microphone. He's kind of embarrassed, and he whispers to the Pope what's going on. And anyone seen this yet? Couple people, one or two, three people, right? Just a few. So he goes, the little boy goes up to the Pope, and the Pope says that since the atheist father had his children baptized, then he must have been a good man. He then refers to the crowd, and he shouts out to the crowd, the Pope does, and he asks if they feel that the atheist father was a good man. And the enthusiastic crowd shouts back in affirmation. He closes by saying, he asked the young girls and boys in the audience if they thought that God would abandon a father like this boy's, who was a good man, obviously. And the crowd shouted back, no! So the Pope turned to little boy, 7-year-old boy, and said, well, that's your answer. You see, it's a slippery slope when even mainline Christianity begins to fold and endorse what people then feel is theology. But doing what you feel is right will not get you into heaven. There is only one way, one truth, one life, and that is Jesus Christ. It's not a feeling. And it's almost as if every dimension we've talked about through time has been a stepping stone farther and farther and farther away from what God has called us to. There was a time when man made decisions because of what they thought was right, then they what they believed was right, and now it's what they feel is right. And always doing what you feel is right is a dangerous place to be in when you throw out logic and thinking, when you throw out believing. And now we find ourselves in this place. California legislature is actually debating acceptance of Assembly Bill 2943. You guys know this too? Yes, no? Yeah, I thought so. It's tucked away. And California legislature again is debating acceptance of Assembly Bill 2943, which basically states that anything that can be seen as trying to impact a person's sexual orientation would be illegal to sell or offer. Let's think about this. This would include the Bible or anything attempting to efforts or change behaviors or gender expressions. They're not even going to be allowed to sell books that encourage people to change their behaviors. In other words, the actual fallout of this will be no self-help books in California. No Christian encouragement journals, no Bibles for sale, and potentially even make it illegal to preach its truth. No Alcoholics Anonymous, because what does that do? It encourages behavioral change, right? Nothing that attempts to change behaviors or interrupt the way people feel. And this is the third dimension I believe we currently find ourselves in. What do you guys think? Maybe, yes, maybe some truth to this. Encouraging, right? The good news is there's a fourth dimension. So our first dimension was what? Thinking. Our second dimension we'll call believing. Our third dimension we probably find ourselves in right now is feeling. But the fourth dimension is knowing. And see, and this is where people make decisions not based solely on what they think, not based solely on what they believe, not solely based on what they feel, but on what they know. For example, we are made in the image of a creator. You know what? And every single one of us, we all know it. Like it's woven into the fabric of our soul. We can't separate ourselves from it. No matter what. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. We're made in the image of a creator and we know it. This is why humanity has tried reaching for the stars and building towers of Babel and sending satellites into the vastness of his creation with little beep, 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 beeps going out for millions and billions of miles seeking the life that we know exists beyond what we can see. You can take people from across the globe, and despite language or age or cultural barriers, we know what happiness looks like, right? How do we know that? We know what love looks like, right? We know what compassion looks like. We know these things. How can you explain it? Parsgap wasn't a smart man, but I know what love is, right? He knew. He knew. Despite what we think or believe or even feel, there is a certain moral unspoken code. And we all inherently know that there is right and wrong. How do we know all that? That life is right and killing is wrong. That helping is right and ignoring is wrong. That patience is right and impatience is wrong. That peace is right and that war is yes. How do we all know these? Know in our souls these things. And throughout history, we've known that we are in need of God and the life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and that He is the only one who can offer. And if you search deep down in your heart today, you will know as I do that you are here with a purpose to glorify God in all you do, to edify and build up His church, and to love Him and to love others, and to share with a lost world that which used to be known. And this is where our dimensions today get really, really interesting. Because again, if we apply our modern geometry, our first dimension of thinking is a line, right? So picture that in your brain, it's just a line, right? And our second dimension of what? Belief, right? Is a square, so we just draw a square, right? And our third dimension of feeling is now a cube, right? Remember that 3D. And to explain 4D, mathematicians and scientists have come up with this thing called a tesseract. Any Avengers, Marvel fans right here? Yes, tesseract, right? And yes, just like the Avengers, it has amazing great power. A tesseract is bounded by 8 hyperplanes, where x equals plus or minus 1. A hyperplane is a subspace of one dimension, less than its ambient space. You following me? Yes, I knew it. Each pair of non-parallel hyperplanes intersects to form 24 square faces in a tesseract. These cubes and three squares intersect at each edge. And there are four cubes and six squares and four edges meeting at every vertex. And all in all, it consists of eight cubes, 24 squares, 32 edges, and 16 vertices. That's pretty amazing, right? Yeah, that's what I figured was going to happen. Because you know what? Maybe you should see the unfolded 4D tesseract, and maybe you'll be as amazed as I am. And the best part of this fourth dimension that we'll call knowing is this. That is how God originally created us. Let's think about this. Before making decisions on what we feel, let's keep going back in time, before making decisions on what we believe, even long before what we thought humanity knew, Adam and Eve knew God before sin separated the world and required a Savior to fix it. They knew God was good, as well as the creation that they inhabited. They knew right and wrong long before Cain killed Abel, or they ate from the tree of knowledge instead of the tree of life. They knew love and peace, and God created us originally to know and be known. These different dimensions have led us farther and farther away over time from what we knew, and it even affects our faith. This is why you will hear some Christians state that they think they're saved. Anyone heard that from a Christian before? I think I'm saved. Or maybe that they believe they're saved. I believe I'm saved. You heard anyone say that? Or maybe even in that moment they feel saved. But then the next day, maybe they fall back into the sin. And maybe they don't feel saved anymore. Now me, I know I'm saved. And maybe you know you're saved because it's more than a feeling. It's more than thought. It's more than belief. It's a knowing. And I know without a shred of doubt in my soul that I am saved through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now for humor's sake and to drive this whole point home. How many days and nights did it rain for Noah in the flood? 4D. 4D. How many years did the Israelites wander in the desert? 4D. How many days did Jesus spend in the wilderness when he proved he wouldn't sin? 4D. You see, God came into a 3D world with some 4D power on the cross so that you and I could know him. Because Lord willing, you just didn't come here to hear me yap this morning. Turn in your Bibles. Job chapter 19. If you want to just listen along or turn there, that's good. Job chapter 19, verse 23. Job writes, ironically, "Oh, that my words were written." Good news, Job, they are. "Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved into the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, and yet in the flesh I shall see God. With whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold," not another's. Despite his sufferings, Job knew his Redeemer lives. Not lived, lives. Because this was millennia before Jesus came to walk the earth. He knew his trust in that Redeemer also guaranteed his eternity. Do you? John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. And 9 through 13. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 9, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own people did not receive Him, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You see, the world has lost what it used to know. It's just like the beginning of the Lord of the Rings movies in the book, right? Except that this actually matters. The other dimensions have become more and more and more and more important, and humanity has taken step after step after step after step out of Eden and away from God. Psalm 46:10 says, if you know this, what? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Not be still and feel. Not be still and think. Not be still and believe. Be still and know that I am God. Finally, we're going to close with Galatians chapter 5. It's going to be starting in verse 16. Paul writes, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. These are all these other dimensions. That's why these dimensions make you at war with yourself and with others by doing things by how you feel, by what you think, by what you maybe believe. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, the things you feel, right? Feel is right. Sorcery, enmity, strife, the things that you believe is right, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, the things that you think are right, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like this. I warn you, as I warned before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And one of the best, I almost said it, one of the best buts in the Bible is right here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, these other dimensions can't even come close to dimension number 4 of the knowing. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Final verse, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. These works of the flesh he read earlier, those are those other dimensions. But the fruit of the Spirit is that fourth dimension, right? And why is it a fruit? You ever thought about that? Why isn't it the colors of the Spirit? Huh? Red, blue, green, yellow, purple. Why isn't it the cookies of the Spirit? Chocolate chip, sugar cookie. That's about it, right? Peanut butter, okay. Molasses, right? Why is it the fruit of the Spirit? To tie everything back to Eden. What did Adam and Eve take from the tree? A fruit, and it was the wrong fruit, right? The old man still existed from Indiana Jones with the beard, and he came out and said, "You have chosen poorly," and then just disappeared back into the smoke, right? It's to tie everything back to Eden. That's why it's a fruit. Because it's back to what we knew. And reminds us of what we know. You see, the fruit of the Spirit only comes by knowing the truth. Knowing the way. Knowing the life that is Jesus Christ. And he came so that you may know love. And know peace. And know patience. Not just think lovey thoughts. Not just believe you have peace and not feel patience for a moment. And the most poetic and the most beautiful part of this morning is that God, who knows you, also wants to be known. You see, he's still walking around in the garden of our hearts, watching as we choose the fruit of the wrong tree day in and day out and day in and day out. And instead of the tree of life, wanting that openness from us like in Eden when they were naked and unashamed. He's wanting us to let our walls down, to open our hearts and lives to him and choose the fruit of the Spirit where his love for us is known and on display for the world to see. God knows each and every one of us, and he loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. And all those other dimensional choices we've made, but a multi-dimensional God cannot be contained by a three-dimensional tomb. And he rose again so that we may know him. Does this make sense? That fourth dimension, this everything comes back to the know. And in your life and in your faith, you may have lived and made decisions by some of these other dimensions. Based on what you thought was right, or based on what you believed was true, or based on what you felt was justified. But you know what? This morning, you have an opportunity to know who God is. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is patient. God is kind. God is good. God is faithful. God is gentle. And He is self-controlled. And how do we know this? Because that's the fruit of His Spirit. And if you don't know, with a shadow of a doubt, if you don't know those things in your life today, then you haven't really known God until today. And if the overflow of your life hasn't been these things, these fruits of the Spirit, then guess what? You've been ignoring what you have known for far too long. And if you do know these things today, and if you do live these things out that you know today, then it's still your opportunity to rejoice and celebrate the Redeemer that you know. In this time of communion we're about to go into, the God who knows you wants to be known. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Our first dimension of thinking leads to a second dimension of what? Believing. And our third dimension of where we find ourselves today, of feeling. But there's the amazing fourth dimension where God intersects us. Blows the roof off of everything we thought we knew. That opportunity is before us in simple juice and bread. Elements representative of a fourth dimension that you and I cannot see, taste, touch, smell, or hear. But it's there. Don't try to put a multidimensional God in a your brain-sized box. But there's so much more to know by knowing Jesus Christ. Let's pray.